Hey, I've got some exciting news for you. For nearly a decade, the Social Media Marketing Society has been helping marketers like you to keep up with the changing times. This is our private community just for marketers, and the doors are open right now. When you join, you get access to ongoing training and become part of a welcoming community of marketers who are just like you. Learn more at smmarketingsociety.com. Again, smmarketingsociety.com.
Welcome to the Social Media Marketing Podcast, helping you navigate the social media jungle. And now, here's your host, Michael Stelzner.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining me for the Social Media Marketing Podcast, brought to you by socialmediaexaminer.com. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner, and this is the podcast for marketers and business owners who want to know what works with social media. I'm really excited about today's show. I'm going to be joined by Donna Moritz, and we're going to explore how to create great visuals when you're not a designer. Plus, you're going to discover a ton of new visual tools that you can use on both your desktop and on your mobile phone. By the way, if you want to reach me, you can email me at podcast@socialmediaexaminer.com. But before we get into today's show, let's focus on our brand new discovery.
Helping you stay alive in a social jungle, here's this week's survival tip.
This week, I'm joined by Eric Fisher with a brand new discovery. What'd you find, Eric?
This week, I found Unsplash. It's a site where you can get free high-resolution photos.
Unsplash. All right. Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah. So what's cool about this is, again, we're always looking for images to augment our blog posts, our social posts. And this is a great site because at Unsplash, they put 10 new high-resolution photos up every day, and then they categorize them and organize them by collections. So if you're looking for outdoor stuff, they got it. If you're looking for, you know, that stock stuff that looks like you're in an office working, they have it. And it's all beautiful, by the way.
I guess the question is, what's the catch? Is there a catch?
I don't see one. It's literally just a place where you can submit your photos, and I looked through the site. I find nothing whatsoever.
So I guess the question is, what are the terms of use, right? Can you use them for commercial use or non-commercial use? Because that's typically one of those fuzzy things that you probably need to research a little bit. Mm-hmm. Do you know?
It's all Creative Commons.
Okay. And do you know, they put up 10 new images a day. Do they take down some every day? And it's kind of like, go to see what's there today, or is everything kind of remain online?
It's not, they may be taking some down every day, but there's always a very large, like I was going through their selection for about a half hour plus, still scrolling and finding new stuff. So even if they are taking down stuff and adding new stuff all the time, there's always a giant selection sitting there.
So what does this mean for the social marketer?
Well, what it means is you can go in and you can search for something that fits your fancy in terms of, hey, I'm writing a blog post about such and such. I want to go and augment that with some visual imagery. And so you type maybe the subject in there, what you would, you know, the image that you want to project, in other words.
I wonder if you can use these images for background images, for quotes, and if you do, whether you need to cite the source and all that kind of stuff, you know. I'm thinking if you create an image and put it on Instagram or Facebook, and it is a Creative Commons license, you probably need to somehow reference in the notes that this image mm-hmm. was sourced from so-and-so, right?
Yeah, that would – all of the Creative Commons, you know, stuff that you need to do with using photos from that are there.
So what are some of the types of categories that you can search?
Sure. Well, they call them collections, and what they are, some are food. One's called All You Can Eat. Here's one called Work that has, you know, the pictures that we see all the time of the laptop and the notebook and the cell phone and the monitor, you know, all different variations of that. There's outdoor one. There's one called Summer. There's one called Creatures. Adventure, where, you know, it's people standing in remote locations. Computers, Phones, and Tech is another one.
Very
cool.
They
even have one called American Political, where it's like lots of people in like rally type things, but you can't distinguish any certain party per se.
That's really cool. So again, what's the name of the, is it a website or an app?
It's a website. Yeah. You head on over to unsplash.com.
Unsplash.com. Awesome. Eric, thank you so much for sharing that new discovery with us.
You're welcome.
Earlier in today's show, I mentioned the Social Media Marketing Society. When you join this exclusive community, you get access to marketing training covering everything from artificial intelligence all the way to YouTube. You see what I did? A to Y, all the way across the spectrum. Every month, we add fresh new training workshops on the latest marketing strategies. Join more than 1,000 marketers who are thriving because of the society. Here's what a fellow marketer had to say, quote, "I've been so impressed with the content of the society. It's the deep dive I was wanting. Really glad I joined," unquote, said Dina Childs. Join today by visiting smmarketingsociety.com. Again, smmarketingsociety.com.
And now let's transition over to this week's episode with Donna Moritz.
Helping you simplify your social safari, here's this week's expert guide.
I'm very excited to be joined today by Donna Moritz. If you don't know who Donna is, she's a visual marketing expert, and she blogs at sociallysorted.com.au, which her blog, by the way, has been recognized by Social Media Examiner as one of our top 10 social media marketing blogs in both 2016 and 2015. Donna, welcome to the show.
Hello, Mike. I'm so glad to be here. It's great to be back.
Welcome all the way from Australia. So yes. Donna and I are going to explore how to create visuals when you're not a graphics designer and you're pressed for time. And I know that so many of us that are social media marketers haven't been formally trained in graphics design, and we all can relate to the fact that we just do not have a lot of time. So what we're going to talk about today is really the visual component and why it's so important for social media marketers, and then how we can actually do it well. So Donna, let's start with the magic question, which is, why should social media marketers care so much about visuals these days?
Sure. Well, it's a hot topic, and it has been for a few years now, but even more in the last year or two. So it's not even enough to get reach on a newsfeed these days. I mean, as you know, it's so busy, and we have to ensure that we catch attention, and visuals just catch attention, and they usually drive someone to take some sort of action. You know, we connect emotionally with visual content, and the key is sort of, you know, making sure that people see your content in the first place. So visuals are great for that. And the fastest growing channels are all now highly visuals. You know, it's a no-brainer. We know that Instagram and Pinterest are really visual, Facebook's visual, but the fast growing channels like Periscope and Snapchat are all really, really visual platforms. Even LinkedIn's now very visual, showcases images and videos. Twitter's now very visual, showcasing images. Tweets with images get retweeted twice as often. So there's a number of stats that I just wanted to mention, if that's okay.
Yeah, please.
To highlight it. So, I mean, I have dozens of these, but these are just a few of the ones that are resonating with me right now. 44% is the number that I wanted to mention. We're 44% more likely to engage with content that contains pictures. There's some interesting research that's happened from Social Bakers, which showed that brands are uploading video to Facebook directly more than YouTube now. So it crossed over a year ago that now Facebook video is more prolific than YouTube. And Facebook's actually getting the lion's share of engagement. So it's about 80% of all video engagement is coming from Facebook native video. And that's before Facebook Live is even really being measured. So it's pretty phenomenal. Periscope, we've got 110 years of video footage just being watched on Periscope every day. That stat was just released.
Wait, what was that stat again?
110 years of video footage is watched on Periscope every day.
Wow.
And now with Facebook Live available for business pages and personal pages, you know, the opportunities are huge. We haven't really seen where that's going to go. And, of course, your industry report last year showed that Facebook is where marketers are spending their time. It's the platform they perceive to be the most important. So with Facebook Live coming on, you know, who knows where that's going. And the other stat that I had was from Content Marketing Institute, and they said that out of a whole range of priorities for content creators, visual content is in the top three. 55% of them are sort of focused on wanting to know about how to create visual content. So it's become a really, really important topic, and we all know that it works. So it's just a matter of finding out where to start and how to do it efficiently. And I think that's the reason why we're talking about this today, is that people just get overwhelmed. I mean, where do you start if you're not a designer? How can you do it so you're not sitting on Canva all day to create one image?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to add a couple thoughts here. Obviously, visuals include video and still images. And we're going to really focus in on the still image side of things today, because I think that is probably the easiest content to create and repurpose across the various platforms. And what's really cool about it is it seems, and you can confirm this, Donna, but it seems as if the square format visual image has kind of become the standard across all the social networks. Have you noticed that?
Yes, definitely. And it has made life easier. I'm always one for saying, you know, make sure you know the native content of the platform. Don't just put the same image out everywhere. But it does make life easier when you've got Instagram and Facebook take square images very nicely.
And now Twitter too. Yeah.
Twitter is showcasing square images. I still recommend with Twitter to put, you know, the most important content in the middle. Some just depends on how people are viewing it. Sometimes you still get the other preview, but yeah, and even square will show okay on Pinterest. I mean, obviously Pinterest taller.
Yeah, Pinterest is its own little unique animal. But even Google Plus collections. So if you take the only one I don't know about is LinkedIn. Do they work with square images? That's the one I'm not sure about. Do you know?
I think wider is better. Square can work. It's just you know, I think. With all the tools available at the moment, you can definitely go in and just use the tools to find out the sizes. It's funny, I used to know a lot of the sizes off by heart, and now I use tools to size my images. So it's become a lot easier. We went from having all these crazy infographics, you know, the ultimate image tool guide size, sorry, ultimate image size guide, which nobody could follow. And then we had all the tools come through and say, well, this is how you resize them. And I used to always say, go with square, portrait, or landscape, depending on what platform you're on. But like you say, square has made it much easier. So
absolutely.
I still need to do some landscape and portrait, but it's not as bad as it was.
Yeah, I mean, and many of you listening can relate to the fact that you probably had to design a million different images for all these different sizes, and now you can frankly greatly simplify that. So as we said at the beginning of the show, we're going to talk about how to design if you're not a designer. And let's start with kind of the basic, where do we start? Like, what do we need to be thinking about, Donna, before we even begin designing images for social media?
Sure. Well, I'm going to just talk about something quickly that's not about the actual image, and it's just stepping back and looking at what visuals get shared well on the platform you're aiming for. So, of course, Square will work across a number of platforms, but even just thinking about what the content is going to be on the image, what works. So, you know, on Facebook, it might be different content to Instagram, which might be different to what works on Twitter. So definitely do that. And I know it sounds crazy, but I have seen more and more that people get overwhelmed trying to be everywhere doing visual content on every platform. And I usually recommend still do your normal posting, but just focus in on one particular platform just to really get a system and some, you know, a process for creating or planning, creating in batches your images and then sharing them in some way and using tools and even people if you need to get to help you. So, I call it the platform cha-cha. You know, people are all over dancing all over every single platform. Just focus in on one with some of the stuff that we're mentioning today and you'll get much better results. I've done it on Twitter last year, and then we moved to Instagram just for a featured account. And the growth on those accounts was huge when I was focused on sort of one thing at a time just to get the systems in place. So, don't jump onto a new platform till you're posting on the one before it with ease. So really, when you're thinking about images, you need to think about a number of sort of elements, and I kind of called it a little visual content blueprint. So there's a number of things that make an image work. So one is just deciding what the image is going to be, like, and that's thinking about what works on the platform you're posting it to. And then thinking about the call to action. Now, Now, the call to action could be something simple, like you just want to have more connection, or you want them to like or comment the engagement, or it could be that next level up where you're looking at shares or people clicking through to another social media site or to your website or to your blog or a landing page. Or it could be, any one of those combinations of things. And then you really need to think about what your landing content is. Like, where are they arriving when they do click through or they share? Like, are they getting value from you? Are they getting more information, more content on your blog? Are they getting, some sort of free download or whatever it is? But just thinking about making sure they've got value and then continuing that value with either your email content or however you will continue to involve them in your community. And then the next step after that is to just make sure that they're achieving some sort of goal or target. So it might be that they're signing up for something, or that they're registering for your email newsletter, or just reading a blog post, or just maybe staying on your website. And at the very end, you're continuing to add value. So there's a number of things to think about with visuals. They do drive traffic. So I always recommend sort of thinking about where people are going to go once they sort of click through, if you're looking for them to be using visuals to sort of drive themselves to your website or to your blog or any other place that you want them to go.
Now, this seems like a silly question for me, but it won't be difficult for you to answer. Going back to the call to action, because yes, my understanding is generally we're uploading these images to the social network and they're usually not clickable, right? So when you say call to action, you're talking about text that will be going alongside the image. Is that correct?
Both. So generally we gravitate to the image first just to get the big picture. So if you can make an image stand alone, it is highly recommended. So just from the very from the point of view of thinking that someone might discover your image out on Pinterest, if someone's pinned it to Pinterest or you have, that it stands alone without a description. However, the description is really important too. So I always think of the two-pronged approach. So make sure that you've got something that's has context on the image, either from the image itself or maybe a text overlay with a little header or a heading. It might be the title of the blog post, for example. And then on the side, you have your description you can play with. And that is really important too. So you can add more information. You can still have the heading and the same information you've got on the image, but you can expand on it. And many of the social platforms allow that to be clickable. So you can have a URL. So Facebook does, Pinterest does. Instagram doesn't, so you have to be very, creative. You have to be very creative. I'm trying to think of the right word. Creative and driven and specific about where you want people to go and use your profile link, the link in your bio to get people to go somewhere. So that's sort of, you have to be very clear on your call to action on Instagram.
And so just to be clear, unlike an ad that has an obvious button on it, that says click here to save or for more, these call to actions usually are separate from the image. Is that correct? They're not not built into the image. They're actually text that goes along with the image and that they're usually at the end of the text, right? The call to action.
The way we do social media tends to be that we don't sort of have big buttons everywhere because it looks a bit more like an ad. You can get away with it. Like, say, on your Facebook timeline cover, you can have, click below or something like that. So people click, there's the action buttons that they can go to sign up for newsletters and things like that. But generally, I'd reserve the buttons for really important calls to action. You can do a graphically put a button on your image for sure, but generally it's more in the description or in the bio on Instagram that you're driving people to have some sort of call to action, and it can be just to get them to read more content.
Right.
It's not always great to just send them straight to a sales page, but sometimes that's what you need to do.
So I just want to share a little strategy that we're going to be doing. We're recording this just before Social Media Marketing World, and this is going to come out just a little after Social Media Marketing World. But I just had a call with my team before this recording, and I said, hey, since you all are monitoring the hashtags, why don't you go ahead and figure out a way to favorite the tweets that are the sound bites from all the speakers that everybody seems to love. And awesome. Those tweets can be put into a file, and maybe we get 100 of them, and then we can create graphics, right, which are actual quote graphics of the speakers. And we don't have to mention where they said the speech if we don't want to, but we can create like 100 images from all these quotes from these speakers, and then we could over many months use these across the social networks. So that's one strategy that we're going to be employing because we're monitoring a hashtag at an event. But the idea is we've got the strategy, we're going in with the strategy, and we know that we're going to come out of it with 100 pieces of content that can be later made into 100 images and then can be scheduled out across the social platform over many months. So the take-home lesson here is, why not be strategic and batch do your work? And then all of a sudden you can have a lot of different images. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. And you're tracing back to what I said before about a system, you know, a process. It can be just any sort of project that you want to work on or the way you're going to approach visuals. You know, we have a system with me and my small team, we're just creating images for Instagram. And the fact that you're just saying we're going to create all these images, we're going to find a way to collate them, plan them, create them and share them is the first step to really doing well with visuals or with shareables, because otherwise it's just a bit haphazard. And I'm a big fan of using quotes from speakers, and I love doing them when we're live at Social Media Marketing World, or a lot of people do, but just being able to find a way to collect them, I think, is brilliant.
Awesome. And so that's a good transition into my next question, which is, let's talk about the different kinds of visuals, right? Because for someone who's not a designer and someone who's not really actively doing as much as you're doing, they might have a hard time understanding, you know, what are the different kinds of visuals that I could create? And I'm not talking about necessarily like, create a visual for Facebook and create a visual for Instagram. Yeah. I'm talking about like at a broad category. Let's kind of break down and give people some ideas. Like I've already mentioned one. We can elaborate on that and mention others, because I think people need just some ideas of what they could be doing, maybe that they're not doing.
Sure. And I'll give you an image, picture of this so you can put it in the show notes. But I just wanted to separate it out for myself about a year ago, and I just called it a visual hierarchy, and it was just useful for me to get my head around where to invest my time and resources. And the more I could see it, there were sort of three levels, and I think this is good just for people to see where the jumping in point is. So the first level is your shareables. The second level is step-by-steps. I made these up, by the way. And the third level is showpieces. So the first level, shareables, is exactly that. So you're really easy to create, easy to share images that are like quotes, tips, memes, photos, and GIFs. Like, I know that's video, but that kind of crosses over into the easy sort of images.
Yeah. And by the way, let's pause there for a second. GIFs or GIFs, explain what they are for people that may not know.
I did read something that you have to say GIFs was...
I mean, like, that's a big debate, but explain what they are for people that may not understand what that means.
They're short snippets of video that are animated to just go in a loop.
Yeah, there's no sound at all. It's kind of like old-fashioned movie almost, right?
Yeah, and they're kind of – they can be quite humorous. You know, there's now whole websites that you can look up. I don't know any off the top of my head, but that you can
– I think one of them is called Giphy or something like that.
Yeah, Giphy. You can go in and just search on them under different categories, and it'll bring up all these different funny types. You can make your own though. I think there's a tool that's a maker tool, and you can make your own from your own videos. So some people use them with content just to loop a little bit of content. And I've seen really clever blog posts where they just have a little how-to image where it shows how to do something.
So you said under the shareables category, there's quotes, tips, memes, photos, and GIFs. And so what's the purpose of creating shareables?
They just are great for engagement. Like, more than anything, they're good for engagement and connection and just keeping yourself front and center for attention. If you're creating your original images, you know, we love new things. Like, anything that's bright and shiny and new, it catches our attention. So if you're creating original content, I always say that other pages especially on Facebook, will eventually see that you're putting out this great content, and they'll start to look to you to share content. So it's almost like they put you on a hit list.
It's like an exposure play, really, right? It's a way to get exposure for your brand. And I would imagine you should put your brand somehow in that image, because it's going to get shared, right?
Yeah, I always recommend to brand in some way, but just don't overbrand. Like, don't put your URL, your name, your logo. Like, just pick one. And I tend to just put our logo on ours. And we play – someone said to me the other day our shareables are a bit like Where's Wally, because we put our logo in quirky places. But but just have something on there to brand it, just in case it gets separated and people don't do the right thing and press the share button. But yeah, a little bit of branding is good. Just keep it subtle. And yeah, and actually GIFs could probably move over into the step-by-steps as well. It depends how much, you know, if you're creating them yourself and not just sharing, it's a bit more effort.
Okay, so you mentioned shareables, and then what's the next one in the hierarchy?
So I kind of had this section called a category called step-by-step. So this is where you're sort of doing more how-to images or checklists or tutorials, the sorts of images you see on Pinterest, like the not quite an infographic, but more of a checklist. They share really well. And in fact, anything that we create that saves people time gets snapped up and shared really well. So they're the ones that might take a little bit longer. You might be doing a screenshot and adding in annotations to show how to do something. I know Murray Smith does those quite well. She'll do screenshots of how to do something on Facebook. It might be doing an image with, like, say you're a fitness professional and you've got images and then, you know, like a list of how to do exercises or whatever. So just those sort of multi-image, multi-step kind of pieces of visual content. And then from there, you get into the what I call the showpieces. And these are the ones that I know I spend more time on. They do take more time and resources, maybe money investment. Depends if you've got a designer on your team, but they all can be done without a designer. And they are your infographics, slide decks, for slide share, short video, and live video or live streaming. They're all, yeah, what you would put a bit more effort into, especially if you're repurposing and things like that. So
going back to the step-by-step for a second, yep. I totally can visualize that Pinterest is a place where people would do this, because a lot of times people have these much taller images, right?
Yeah.
But do they serve a purpose on the other social networks as well?
You know, the more we used to create a lot of infographics for clients that got shared like tens of thousands of times. We did some for Ian Cleary and they've done really well for me on my blog. But I used to do the really long ones, and they are great and they're still well loved and shared on Pinterest. But I really, really like the idea of like a half size one. So even 2,000, 2,500 pixels high or even less, that will share well. It will even show okay on Facebook. It will look well on Google Plus. It will do well still on Pinterest because it's longer rather than wide, and it will also do well on LinkedIn and Twitter. You can show these as well. They might not show the whole infographic, but I know that on Canva they have an infographic template that's about a half length one. So if you wanted to check out what I mean, go into their infographic templates and you'll see that they've got sort of half length infographics, and all of those show really well on just about any social platform.
Very cool. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, when you mentioned earlier that Mari Smith does a lot of these interesting how-tos, I think she uses some sort of a screen capture tool where she draws arrows and notes and stuff like that, right? But that stuff is useful because she tends to like notice new features in Facebook and kind of talk about them first and upload those images, and those things get shared like crazy, right? And that's the kind of thing you could do on Facebook, right?
Absolutely. If there's something that you need to show your screen or how to do something, or even an image, so you can take an image, of it might be, gosh, I've even seen someone take an image of the beach showing a riptide, you know, a current, to how to be aware of them, and then just put arrows in to show where the dangerous areas are. And it got shared like crazy on Facebook. It was just a small swimming academy page. So sometimes just putting arrows or just a little notation on an image. I mean, you can do that on any of the tools, but I think Mari's probably using something like Snagit, or there's another one called Sketch by Evernote. They're just easy, quick annotation tools that you can use you can snag a screenshot.
And I want to mention the one that I use, which is free. It's called Jing, J-I-N-G.
Yeah.
And it's techsmith.com/ jing.html. And what's cool about this one is it grabs a screenshot. It allows you to like highlight certain words with a highlighter, draw arrows, draw boxes. And then with the click of a button, you can upload it to a website or you can just save it. And I use it all the time to send feedback to our web designers, our tech team, but I also use it in training and I also use it when I'm uploading stuff onto the social networks. And that's just a great, and we're going to get into the tools here in a second, but these kinds of tools, like the ones you just mentioned and this one, Jing, make it so easy to create an image in seconds, right? Without having any special tools.
Yes. And Jing is like the younger brother of Snagit. So, you know, use Jing. I've neglected to mention it. So you're right. Jing is sort of like the easy, it's free, I think.
It is free. Is Snagit by the same guys or something?
Yeah, it's still by the same company, but you just pay more. It just does longer video and a couple of other things. So Jing's great. It does 5 minutes of video capture too. So
And it's Windows and Mac, and it does do video capture.
The other one you can do if you're on a Mac is just is it Command Shift 4?
You're correct.
And you can screen capture.
Yep.
Just a quick screenshot. So
the only benefit I like to Jing is that it does the same thing, but it allows you to easily control the box size and stuff like that. Yep. So, so we've talked about shareables and we've talked about step-by-steps and we talked about showpieces. So obviously these get a little more difficult as you go down the hierarchy, right? So the showpieces, the infographics and the slideshares and stuff, this is the stuff where you usually want to hire a professional, I would imagine, right?
Yes and no. Like I have for a long time had some professionally done, but also I create them myself because I'm like a crash test dummy. I figure that if I'm teaching people that they can do DIY visuals, I need to do them myself. So I have had SlideShare presentations, and again, I'm not a designer. I'm a little bit creative, but I've created SlideShare presentations on Canva that have had over 100,000 views.
Wow.
You know, and some of them, a lot of them have had sort of 10 or 20,000 views up to 50. And then also I've used a girl on my team to help me do some as well. I've created infographics in Canva that have been shared a lot on Pinterest, and also I've had a designer create them. So it depends how big the project is and how, you know, how much you want to go, how deep you want to go with it. But I would suggest that people can check out the tools. There's a lot of tools that you can create these.
Yeah, and let's transition into that because let's just say I'm not a designer, as many people are not that are listening. So and they want to create some cool tools. I mean, let's start with the shareables. Are there some cool tools out there that make it really easy to create these quotes and mimes, memes, and all that kind of cool stuff?
Yeah, sure. So I know we've talked about Canva a lot, so I won't go into detail. I wanted to talk about a couple of new ones, but Canva is probably my go-to tool for creating visuals just because the stock images are reasonable. They're $1 US, and if you get Canva for work, you can do a lot of cool things like resize your images, so from square to landscape or different resizings very, very quickly.
What does Canva for work cost?
It costs around about $12 a month and then about $10 a month if you purchase like a year's worth, like if you buy annually.
And what's the benefit to the work, to the paid project? Is it multiple people collaborating on a single account or something like that?
Yeah, so the number of things, you get multiple people can collaborate. You have a team stream so you can share content between your team. So I share with my VA and then she goes in and she can edit and create and then she can send it to me and I can click in and add to it. You can have all your branding assets in there. You can have folders for all of your assets, so photos and PNG files and images and all your illustrations and things like that. You can also have folders for your designs, which saves you going crazy because you don't have one big stream of designs. You can also resize one image, or you can do like a multiple resize of a whole bunch of images. A few different things. You can upload fonts and things like that. So it does make it a bit easier. And I think it's a really sweet spot for pricing. I think it's pretty reasonable. So
absolutely.
It's a good go-to one if you want to do it yourself.
Yeah. So you said that there are some other tools that you wanted to mention. So what would you recommend?
Yeah. So that would be one desktop tool. The other two that I want to mention that have kind of changed the landscape for creating visuals are Relay and Design Feed. Now, Relay is about $12 per month or $8, I think, if you pay annually. Design Feed has been free, but they're bringing in a pricing structure that is more than relay. It's about $29 per month, I think. And then they are planning to do a lot more with the tool. That's going to mean there's more pro accounts. But what they are is they're both tools that allow images to sort of basically design themselves. You know, it's automated visual content. Now, it might not suit everyone because you might need to do some tweaking. They do allow a little bit of customization, but Relay, basically you load in all your assets. You then, you know, add in things like your logo, a tagline. It might be, you know, hashtag or your URL and things like that. And then it will allow you to, well, there's a whole heap of templates basically propagated in Relay, and we'll bring them up, and then you get a whole bunch of designs to choose from. Then you can narrow in on particular designs, change assets, and it will automatically reflect that through all the other designs. So if you change a color, it can change the color throughout the other designs that are being shown.
So what I hear you saying is that within just a few minutes, you can create a whole bunch of different images, right?
Yeah. So someone like you, maybe if you know, I mean, I know you have designers on hand, but say someone is a podcaster that doesn't have that, they have templates for podcast images, so you can immediately create a whole swag of images with all of your podcast interviewees, you know, give them to your guests so that they can share out the images. You have them on your blog. It's good for batching a lot of images, doing a lot of quotes, things like that, but they also have all the social media platform templates in there, so you can, it's resizing everything. You can get Facebook cover images, Facebook ads, all of that. Now, DesignFeed does a very similar thing. And it's probably it's more simple to go in and use. It's a quicker sort of setup. You can go in and start creating straight away. I know they're going to add a lot more, but I mean, I basically went in and I showed you the other day. I just went in and put, Shiraz Valley as a winery, and then I added in the name of a food festival or something like that, so just a couple of lines of text, and then the actual tool will pick out the visual. So they have a link through. The difference between the two is DesignFeed has access to stock libraries at the moment. I don't know if Relay's adding that, but they use Unsplash, which has beautiful images, and a couple of others. So it will pull out the visual. So suddenly you're presented with all these images, like a whole series of images with beautiful grapes or bottles of wine with Shiraz Valley. And
I was kind of shocked, to be honest, how fast that worked. I mean, it almost like it keyed in on one of the keywords and just automatically pulled in the images and created the entire thing from scratch within seconds. I was pretty blown away.
I didn't expect to have the image pulled in when I first did it. I was like, what? But it does, that's an advantage. And then, of course, you can click in. And on both of the tools, you can click in and change images and change assets. But they're not completely customized, and I think that's the point. You know, if they let you customize everything, then it becomes Canva, not an automated tool. So there's a little bit of customization. And I think, you know, for me, I can see that everyone's toolkit will include tools like Canva, and then, you know, one of these tools, you know, designfeed.io, I think it is, and relaythat.com.
About on the mobile side? Because I know that there are some cool mobile tools that allow you to create these amazing, I guess, shareables, right, within seconds. Can you mention one or two of those?
Yeah, sure. So I'm going to quickly mention there's four of them, tools that I just recommend people check out that are typography tools. And the first one is OVER. These are ones you probably know about, but I just want to mention them for a particular reason, in that they can quickly allow you to add text to photos. It's just really easy. And OVER actually gives you some free design assets every day, so it's worth checking in. But they are available on Android and iPhone.
Cool.
And the other one that's available on Android and iPhone is Fonto, which allows you to do a lot of cool things with text on images.
Fonto, and, F-O-N-T-O, okay.
P-H-O-N-T-O.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to mention that because Android people often feel like they miss out a bit, because a lot of these tools tend to be on iOS first. So they're two that work on both. And then you've got WordSwag and Typorama are two great tools for creating sort of really designer-influenced text overlays, so typography, really. So you're putting really cool text on backgrounds.
Now, what does the Fonto one do?
It's a tool that allows you to sort of do all sorts of things, like, you know, do color block backgrounds, add text on the top, you know, bring in photos. It's quite a robust tool. I've seen Subi Zimmerman use it quite a lot. I haven't actually used it a lot. I've just started to, but it's a great one. And everyone that's on Android says that they, you know, that they really like you to, that it's a great one to use.
What's your favorite of these four?
I like Over. Just because it's been around for a long time, and because it has some really cool effects. You can sort of blur out part of your, you can do layers, and you can blur out part of your text and sort of bring the image in and do some really cool effects. I like that they have a lot of really fun overlays. Now, there's two others though that I really do like, and I just wanted to mention them because they're reasonably new. I love Over out of all of those, but I use WordSwag and Typorama. I kind of flick between all of them. There's two new ones. Well, new in a sense that they've been around for about a year. Studio. Have you heard of Studio?
I think I might have heard of that. Who's that from?
Yeah. I think...
is it from someone big or not? But tell me what Studio is.
Yeah, they were at Social Media Marketing World last year. So they basically have a tool that's kind of a cross between a social media platform and an image creation tool, and it allows you to share your images within the platform. But basically, you can choose a whole bunch of designs. So there's designers in there, and the users do this as well, but they create all these really cool overlays. So lots of little sayings about travel or life or business or whatever it is.
And you can edit them?
Yeah, you can't. You can remix them.
I see.
So you can take them and you can add in your own background. And so for small business, it can be a great way to quickly create an image.
I see. So they've got kind of the text already figured out, and then you can just kind of make something cool out of it.
And you can create your own as well, or you can tap into the ones created by the community. So there's just hundreds, thousands of them. And you can search. I say you want to do, something to do with coffee. Like there's the hashtag coffee, or there's the category coffee, and then there's the designers you can search under. So there's different ways to find content, and you can also go in and use all these different elements to create your own shapes and text and make your own little text overlays. So that's a great one for finding really cool designs and remixing them, and then you can share them out to Instagram or Facebook direct from the tool.
And you said there was two, what's the other one?
Yeah, so they originally started with two products in mind. They created Studio, and then they've created a second one called Brander, which is Brandr. And it's come about because they knew that small business were using the other tool, Studio, but they wanted something more specific for small businesses. So with Brander, you can actually upload your logo to put it on the images. You can also tap in, like it actually hooks into Studio, so you can bring in all of the great things from Studio into Brander, and it allows you to do things like get analytics. You can have team members work together on content, and it will track, you know, who's sharing. You can sort of get your team involved with sharing and things like that. And they also have a whole swag of quotes that are pre-propagated for different industries.
Awesome.
So they've got fitness industry, and that's growing really well. And they're a really nice team. And I think they just work with you to get your sort of assets set up initially. And I think it's a small cost. It's a small monthly cost. It's similar to Canva, but I love both of them. I think they're a really good team. They've got great design elements, and that's a good one to play with. And
excellent.
The other one. Yeah.
So, Donna, I mean, like, wow, we have really covered a lot of ground here. We've talked about the different kinds of images. We've talked about a bazillion different tools that people who are not designers can use to create beautiful images that nobody would know that it wasn't created by a professional designer. So, I want to ask you this question. Where can people discover more about you and all the great work that you're doing, Donna?
Sure. So they can go to my blog at sociallysorted.com.au it's the same website, sociallysorted.com.au/blog. And I blog there weekly about social media or visual social media and content strategy. So if you want to join my insider updates, we have a regular newsletter goes out with tips like today, basically, how to use content, how to use visual content to get more reach, referrals, and results. And I also have a latest training link. At the moment, there's a video series on it. So it's sociallysorted.com.au/free-training. So that way they can always be updated with the latest thing.
Awesome. Donna Moritz, visual marketing expert, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Mike. It's been a pleasure.
Well, I hope you found a lot of value in today's episode. I know we mentioned quite a few different things and you probably didn't catch it all, but don't worry, we take all the notes for you. Visit socialmediaexaminer.com/196. Also, hit that subscribe button on your podcast player if you're new. We don't want you to miss a future episode. We've got a great lineup coming. Also, if you haven't done so in a while, or you haven't done so at all, would you consider giving us a rating and a review? socialmediaexaminer.com/iTunes. We'll get you there. It'll work on your mobile phone, and that will really help us out. This brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Social Media Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner. I'll be back with you in the driver's seat next week. I hope you make the absolute best out of your day, and may social media continue to change your world.
The Social Media Marketing Podcast is a production of Social Media Examiner.
Hey, just a quick reminder, join the Social Media Marketing Society today and level up your marketing for your company or your clients. Visit smmarketingsociety.com to find out more.